Hello, friends. Pat Brennan here with Charlie Hatch. We are upstairs at Nippert Stadium, off to the side room, and we are figuratively wading through confetti after FC Cincinnati celebrates its USL regular season championship. Charlie, they clinched it on Wednesday, but by virtue of the performance tonight, it kind of felt like they won it tonight. And it is awkward. I've seen it in the past done where these championship celebrations take place after a loss. FC Cincinnati took care of business tonight. And here we are. They hoisted a trophy at long last.
3-0 win over Indy 11. Who was fifth place in the league? I mean, this is a team that's actively trying to fight for a spot to potentially host a home game.
It didn't look like it tonight.
No, and I think I will say this. I don't want to be too analytical of the actual performance of players. First of all, it's worth mentioning FC Cincinnati had 11 changes. Literally changed its whole starting
complete
lineup.
Complete overhaul.
From the game at Richmond.
And we had a Tomi Amiobi sighting
tonight.
We
did. Sim DeWitt started. It was his second appearance this season. His first since June. I say this because the first season when we covered the team, sometimes I remember I would leave the games and I wouldn't have paid. I don't want to say I didn't pay that much attention to what was going on in the field, but it seemed like there was so much in the stands. Like, how are all these people showing up?
Yeah.
Wow, 14,000 people. Tonight, record-breaking crowd of 31,487. That's a single-game record. FC Cincinnati averaged 25.7. I think that was the final average for the season.
Yeah.
And so there was just so much going on beside the game. And
it
FC
really
Cincinnati
was.
Still played well.
Yeah. And it wasn't like Allen dipped way into his bench. It wasn't like Tomi Amiobi started. He came on for what was essentially a courtesy appearance in second half stoppage time.
A little before.
A little before. Yeah, you're right. But you still had Deco Kainan in the match. Fernando Ari.
Michael Ahud.
Danny Koenig. So it wasn't like this was a pushover side. Indy 11, I think they're more, as far as the match, and we're not going to talk about the match too much because, you know, for me, the rest of the season, and this started a while ago, for me, the rest of this season is about individual performances and guys trying to make the cut for MLS to whatever extent the competition for MLS is still on. And I think a lot of that has probably sorted itself out at this point. But maybe there are some guys still in the conversation. And other than that, it's just, you know, finding nice moments for guys that obviously won't be here next year. But going back to the match at hand, inexcusable for Indy to come out the way they did, I think. Fifth place. They can still finish. They would have needed help to do this, but the range of spots for Indy to finish, Charlie, between second in the conference and out of the playoffs altogether. And tonight they looked like a side that is going to fade out of the playoff picture. And I don't know if they will or not, obviously. They have two matches left to play. But they brought nothing. They had nothing after I would say around 25 minutes. And then that's when Fernando Adi scored in the 34th minute. And that was pretty much it. I mean, the game was over. And like you said, the game itself was almost secondary to the crowd. It was just one of those nights where, like, Nippert Stadium was the place to be seen and the place to be. And people knew the trophy celebration was coming after the match. And there was great atmosphere. But I think that had less to do with the match. Did you have any?
No, I would
agree. It's also hard for us to get.
No, yeah, I would agree. I think basically since Adi scored that 89th minute goal against Pittsburgh Riverhounds, it's been sealed. Not that it wasn't sealed previously, but it's like, all right, well, it'll happen at some point here. They're going to clinch. You know, FC Cincinnati after tonight has 75 points. For context, Louisville City and Pittsburgh Riverhounds are tied in second. Well, they both have 57 points. which is that's just ridiculous for FC Cincinnati standards. I mean, keep in mind, I would agree that the league has never looked better. The talent is there, but Cincinnati is so good. I mean, 10 games consecutive and wins, 21 games unbeaten. The fact that we're like lackadaisically discussing the fact that they beat the fifth team in the conference. Granted, not a great-looking fifth team,
yeah.
But still, FC Cincinnati is just running through these teams with people that hadn't played in a long time. Matt Boehner, who had been hurt in practice, when's the last time he's played?
Well, his first start was... I forget if he played against Richmond. His first start back from injury was
when Justin
Saturday.
Was yeah.
Saturday against Penn FC.
Russell Cicerone,
so a week ago,
gets a shout. You know,
yeah.
People that aren't that have not been featuring but had featured came in, impactful performances, got the result, and then we got a trophy.
Yeah, pretty cool scene. I will say credit to I would imagine a few of the different departments within the club played a role in this post-match celebration tonight. For a club that's never won anything, they put on a pretty nice show, wouldn't you say, as far as the celebration?
We got flames.
We had pyrotechnics accompanying
no
the
pyro,
trophy.
No pyro, no party.
That's right. No pyro, no party.
We had limbs.
We had limbs in the Bailey. And, you know, one thing that was totally off the board for me, obviously it's customary in American sport to have championship T-shirts. We even see high school teams doing that. I covered a preps game here in the Cincinnati region a few years ago where a high school team probably used public dollars to make championship T-shirts. And that just blew my mind. Anyway, FC Cincinnati even went and did that, which obviously it wasn't too far out of bounds because they had already won the championship. But again, I think the mood of the celebration depended largely on how the match went tonight. And there was no guarantee coming into this that they were going to beat Indy 11, which obviously totally laid an egg tonight. But in terms of production value and just warm, cool moments with guys on the backroom staff, players that haven't played much this year, I think everyone got a piece of the trophy. FC Cincinnati put on a really nice championship celebration-style show.
Yeah, I mean...
It was pretty impressive.
No, yeah, you had all the players. One moment that Alan mentioned that stood out to me in his post-game press conference was, you know, not everybody was on that trip at Richmond.
Yeah.
Where they had the champagne yeah. and varieties of beers. They weren't there. So to be able to do that, coaching staff, like Austin Berry, former captain of the
yeah,
club.
Yeah, how much must
getting
have that meant?
Yeah, getting to hold it in front of the Bailey. Obviously, he's from Cincinnati.
Yeah, this is his hometown club.
Those are the kind of moments that stand out. The fact that players could celebrate, employees taking pictures with the plate with their families.
Yeah, the platter.
It's good to see. The club did a good job. It's a bit embarrassing from USL to not have the president. After Jake Edwards.
Or a vice president.
Or a vice president, especially given the fact that you've just done this whole revamp on how you want to be a legitimate league. And then they brought someone out there.
Who was that? It doesn't need, you know.
I'm not trying to be offensive. I did not know who it was. And so, again, not a good look on their part.
It should have been Jake Edwards. And look, I'll give with that, you know, we haven't spoken to USL. I don't know if this is a story that we want to pursue going forward. It is noteworthy. I think it's also relevant that FC Cincinnati and the league have not always seen eye to eye on a number of subjects. And you know, I can, speaking from experience, USL as a league has not had a great time of it dealing with the media here. And I think...
Are you the media?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. No, really. I mean, I'm not. No, I don't think of myself as the guy, but I have been the guy that's probably communicated most consistently or most frequently with the league office, and I don't think I have any fans in that office. So, yeah. It was just uncomfortable. I don't know that it's a minor note because FC Cincinnati is going to have to make a decision in the future about whether they want to repopulate either somewhere at some level of the USL. And I mean, at this point, I don't think there's another viable option in American soccer in terms of having a lower league affiliate. But I think it's pretty obvious.
It's a good point.
I mean, the two sides are going to have to come together and hash this out at some point. There's nowhere else FC Cincinnati can go in terms of having a lower league affiliate, so they're not done dealing with each other. Even after this season ends, my understanding is FC Cincinnati still holds the rights to a franchise here. So
I did not know that.
That at least, well, I would think that's how it works. So, I mean, the rights to that franchise at least have to be dealt with. I don't know. You make a great point. It was uncomfortable. I mean, it didn't help that the person who was here, I didn't catch his name because his microphone, two microphones didn't work.
USL moments.
It was a terrible USL moment. That was probably the only thing that went wrong tonight, and fittingly enough, it was the USL representative with the mic in his hand when it happened. So,
we are nitpicking.
Are we though?
Well, I don't know. As a fan in the stands, you wouldn't know that. As you know, we would know that working with the club regularly, knowing that there is a bit of a relationship, which leads to the next thing: Jeff Birding getting on the mic and throwing down.
What would you call that? I told him afterward. I said that was a heck of an oration. It wasn't an oration. Like, Abraham Lincoln was a great orator, and I think Jeff is too. But that was more just of like when, that was like a primal scream.
It was like when just running through a wall.
Yeah,
like Marty Gilliard running into the stands over there before. This is pre-FC Cincinnati here.
I mean,
just plowing in. Jeff Birding went straight
he's
in.
He's lucky his voice didn't crack because it would have been a Howard Dean moment.
We're
going to go to Louisville.
Look.
And we're going to go to Charleston.
It was awesome. And I think it was powerful. So there's no way that it got forgotten.
The fans loved it.
No, so I was actually.
Jeff had a heck of a night.
I
interrupted you, but he came out of the locker room to approach. He was the first person to approach the temporary stage that they set, that they erected at midfield. And he got a great reception from the crowd. I mean, he is...
Well, you know...
He's always been a face of the organization, but it's one thing to be, like, the public face and the person who goes out and does the speaking engagements, but it's another to be widely recognized as the person in that capacity. And Jeff is, like, he brought a trophy to... Well, go on.
No. He said he wanted to bring a trophy. You know, we sat in that press conference last October after the playoff loss in Tampa, and he said, we want to bring a trophy. It's no more about the crowds, feel-good story. It's about producing results. FC Cincinnati has obviously produced those results.
Yeah. But I cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, that's basically it. But he gave a great speech that throughout the night might get overlooked. So I was actually holding a video camera and got video of it. I'll see if we can try to get that.
Yeah.
It was a solid speech. I know I didn't get the full
thing. It was
thing.
A good speech. No, I made light of it and the Howard Dean thing.
But no,
he delivered it fine, and the crowd reacted very positively. It was very much a well executed pump up speech by Jeff.
Which was a jab at the USL? Maybe.
Or
proof was there, reiterating
was there, the power. Was there a phrase or a one-liner in there that led you to think that? Because I was more focused on, I think, getting good-looking photos on my iPhone 8 at that point in the celebration. And Jeff was kind of speaking at midfield as the lap was going on around him as the players took the trophy around Nippert. Did he say something specifically that made you think he was jabbing at USL?
Not particularly. Just reiterate the fact that, yeah, we're better than everyone else. We told you we'd do it. We got it done.
Yeah.
Deal with it, everybody.
He
you
backed
know?
It up.
And that leads to the next speaker, the next subject we'll talk about, Alan Koch. Short remarks, the head coach, short remarks, said the best is yet to come, essentially, not in Frank Sinatra's voice. And then proceeded to go over to the Bailey, force Lasso, lifts him up on his shoulders. The team gives him a little, what would you call that, build up before he...
I don't know what that's called.
Before when he held up. Whoa. Yeah, you guys know what we're talking about. as I lift my arms above my head right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
He lifts the trophy above his head to the Bailey. And then I brought up in the press conference, I thought it was a touching moment. Here's a guy who, again, did not come here to be the head coach. He came here maybe one point further down the road, but he was John Hark's director of scouting in the academy, correct?
Yeah, that's really not even – I mean, in title, I don't know what the spirit of the move was. I mean, obviously – before John got fired, we saw Alan playing a significant role in player signings. So he was – his role was morphing into more of a GM capacity. But in title and in job description, he was not close to being the head coach.
And then, you know, we got a press release with his name pronunciation on a Friday night before the team flew to Florida.
Yeah.
Suddenly, he mentions it's a whirlwind. He's got to coach a team that started off terribly in 2017, was on the cusp of not making the playoffs, never got higher than fifth in the standings. I recall some places saying, you know, Koch out. It was meant literally. It's not good enough.
Fire him.
After John Hark's.
And it wasn't just – I know who you're referring to when you say some places, but, I mean, that was a widely held position – as far as this fan base goes. And I think it hurt Alan deeply because he's human and, you know, you've got people calling for your job. But Alan is one of the – in like all the sports I've covered, and you've covered your fair share amount of sport too, Charlie, but in all the sport I've covered, he's one of the most human head coaches, people that I've ever met. And I think he was really wounded – by the calls for his job, and I've talked to him about this again. I've cut you off. I apologize, Charlie.
No.
But I've talked to him about this a few times down the stretch here. Once on a week ago tonight at Pittsburgh or at Harrisburg, when they clinched the Eastern Conference. After Wednesday's match, we had a conference call. Thank you, Liz, and we had a chance to talk to Alan again. And this has not been easy for him. The respect that he has from the fans now was hard won and did not come automatically with his post. So, fair or unfair, Cincinnati put him through the ringer. I think like they do with most outsiders in most public positions here. And but I think he's got that respect now. And I don't – like he said on Wednesday, he never – felt like he needed to prove himself, and he isn't surprised that he was able to accomplish something like this. And he said that in the most humble way possible. You have to take our word on that. But to your point, it has been an incredible ride for Alan. And I tweeted out tonight, you know, there are prominent people in the media that between the time he took over the team in February 2017 and now that have said, who is Alan Koch? Why is he the guy? And he even admitted tonight in his post-match press conference, you know, his career hit a ceiling in the Vancouver organization.
He did.
Which is ironic because they just fired
their
entire coaching staff this week, which was on my radar, even though he's locked in at Cincinnati. But, you know, There was a lack of respect there, and
he delivered.
Man, it must have felt good to hold that trophy tonight, regardless of what happens in the playoffs. I bet it felt really good for him to have his fingers around that trophy and give it a kiss.
I will say, I don't think he did it in spite of anyone.
No, it wasn't
some vindication. It was simply, you know, I promise you, I'd do my best. I assembled a squad that should compete. FC Cincinnati has not competed in the USL. It has destroyed the league, the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, in many ways, it's hard with a coach too, because we're going from USL to MLS next season. All of us trying to adjust to this transition because it's new in this region. And you do have to wonder, when is the next time FC Cincinnati, other than the USL Cup, you know, if they win that here in Nippert, when's the next time FC Cincinnati is in this kind of situation where the coaches get to hoist the trophy?
Maybe never.
And and that's not some tough question. It's just that's the way it works. The same players who played tonight, many of them will not be on the team next season.
Yeah.
This is not a secret. Just look at the eye test to figure that one out.
Yeah.
And so I think it was a good moment for FC Cincinnati, for Allen, for Jeff Birding. These people who promised that they wanted to deliver a trophy have delivered one now. They've got a couple weeks, and they've got to try to deliver another.
Yeah. So going forward, like I said earlier, I'm really interested the next two matches of the regular season, the last two matches of the regular season. Obviously, this points, results, they only matter insofar as FC Cincinnati can continue extending its club record unbeaten run. I think they must be within a game or two, a result or two, of
I think it's 22.
The USL record. Yeah, they're at 21 right now. So maybe that's something they want to try to achieve. That's not the point. That is not the priority right now. And for me, it shouldn't have been the priority all this time, although they've, you know, if they can rattle off results and accomplish other things along the way, more power to them. But I am interested to see individual performances, players on the fringes of this roster get opportunities for themselves, not even necessarily for the MLS competition, because as I suggested, Charlie, I don't know how much of that is left. And, you know, I don't think we're going to learn a lot about – I think we'll learn more about who's in the running for MLS come playoff time, because if they – play 2, 3, 4 matches in the USL Cup playoffs, excuse me, you know, you'll see very clearly, if you haven't been able to see already, we'll have a very definite picture of who Alan Koch has tipped as his favorites on this squad, and therefore who is most likely to make the jump to MLS with the team. A notable omission as well, Charlie, from tonight's celebration: someone very important was not present.
That is correct.
Luke Sassano, not present.
I thought you were going to mention Carl Lindner.
Oh, third. Well, yeah. Carl could be doing anything. Luke,
another person.
Yeah, Luke Sassano was not present tonight. Now, maybe he was on his couch in Oakley, although I don't think that was the case. I assume he was somewhere in the world scouting, somewhere in America, perhaps. So that just tells you that while as much fun and as much emphasis as we at Cincinnati.com, you and me, and the fans have put on what's happening on the field right now, the MLS, the machinations of the MLS side of this operation are very much still moving and cranking out results, I would venture to say, again, on the MLS side of this operation. So that stuff is all still happening. College players are being scouted for the draft. Internationals are being scouted for the transfer window when that opens again. And Luke Sassano was notable for his absence, I would say, tonight. Would you agree?
You mentioned him over Carl.
Carl's not scouting for
he
MLS.
Could be. Could
maybe
be.
He was, yeah. Ooh.
Where's the trophy?
That's our big...
Where is Carl?
That's our... yeah. My big question on Tuesday. Where will the trophy... I mean, this trophy is going to have an Odyssey experience over the next...
If players get caught up on international duty, I want it taken with them. If Michael Lahoud goes to Sierra Leone... Or Pakanate for Guinea. They play against Ivory Coast at home. I want him to bring that. Can you imagine?
Well, let's be realistic before we sign off here. Who would you like to see take the trophy home? And who do you think realistically took it? Because realistically, I think Jeff Birding probably swooped in and said, ah, this is coming home with me. I think that's...
Yep.
I would bet a lot of money on that being the reality.
I'm actually going to make a personal preference and point it out here. I would like to see the trophy on display for fans to take a photo with in the coming weeks.
Team store, perhaps?
And I thought about this earlier. I was wondering whether or not I tweeted out. Didn't want to put anybody on blast. Not in a bad way, just, you know.
They shouldn't hide the thing up in their office.
No, and I don't think that will be. For what it's worth, the Queen City Cup was next to the hand sanitizer at the front desk. That was the trophy between which FC Cincinnati lost to the Independents.
Yeah.
This will not be there.
Your trophy's in the mail.
Yeah. But the point is, I would like to see fans being able to take a photo with it. So, again, I don't know how realistic this is. I have no control over this, so this is just a man rambling. But
so, all right, back to my prompt. Who do you hope? Who do we think are a big part of yours on this team? And
I don't want to, you know.
I don't mean like they're drunks. I just mean who's a partier? Who likes to have a good time? I'm sure they all do in some ways. Everyone's got their own version of a good time. Get your mind out of the gutter, dude.
All right.
Who's going to show?
You know who I want? I think Spencer Ritchie.
I think Spencer Ritchie, too. I would love to see it. Spend a night out tonight with Spencer Ritchie.
Are those your plans? Post-podcast plans?
No, I'm not going out.
No, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep, too.
It's 12:30.
God, we got to get out of here. All right, well, maybe Spencer Ritchie. Hopefully we can track the trophies movements throughout the weekend. That'd be an interesting story. And, for tonight, Charlie and I will sign off. We're going to wade out through the confetti into our toward our cars here on the UC campus. FC Cincinnati beats Indy 11, 3-0. The trophy they clinched on Wednesday, they were able to physically clench tonight. And what a sight it was. Sealed with a kiss. That's right. For Charlie Hatch, I'm Pat Brennan. We'll talk to you guys next time.